Good morning, everybody. How are you? Hot, hey? Bit warm. You okay? All right. Okay. Good. Yo, money. One of those things, eh? It's something we should talk about, but we don't. If you're visiting with us, please just relax. We're not going to pass washing baskets around when you put something in it afterwards. There's no pressure. The funny thing is about Lighthouse is that this is something that we never talk about, actually. How's it? How are you? It's nice to see you. Sorry, man. So we almost never, people will know, we almost never talk about money when we at Lighthouse. It's something that's kind of, it's inbred in us. We're incredibly good. The church is an incredibly good steward with money. We're incredibly transparent. It's one of the things that you'll find if you're here for a long time. They'll put the thing up on the board. We'll show you exactly down to the cent where it's been. Mostly Andrew's stuff and now Audrey's. And he just grinds it. We stick to the budget. Even Kewen sticks to the budget. It's quite incredible, actually, which is, I think, it's a miracle in itself. But, so money is one of those things that that we're actually good at. We're very good stewards, and we never really talk about it. But I really feel that this is a word for us for now, that God is challenging us to use our faith in this area. I think that's what he's saying to us. So let's open in prayer. Precious Father, you're so welcome here. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you that every single person in this room, Lord, they have ideas about how money should be structured. We have made up our own ideas about how they should work. Some of us feel in control. Some of us don't feel in control. And I pray that your word today would move walls that we've created between you and I, that our hearts and our minds would be open to the revelation of your word. I thank you for the grace in Jesus, that he forgives and that he loves. And we welcome you, Lord Jesus, into this room. With two or more gathered in your name, it says that you're there. We gather here for you, Lord. We honor you today. We thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is called the principle of firsts. Principle of first, that's what it's called. How many of you guys had a good Christmas? Come on now. How many of you guys had a good Christmas? You have a good Christmas? See, my whole family's hands are high. You know why? Because we lose our minds at Christmas, okay? We really, really do. Some of you guys, when you go to the rugby, you lose your mind. I've seen you, okay? You stand there, you'll scream and shout. My son's one of them. You'll shout, you'll go absolutely crazy. Christmas, we lose our minds. I don't know. People say that, you know, Christmas become far too commercial, and I really get it. I mean, especially if you don't know, but we know Jesus. We do. We love him. If you're going to lose your mind over anything, let the joy of the Lord be your strength, and let the joy of Christmas, we really do. And you know why? It's because when Father Christmas comes to our house, he makes a mistake, because he doesn't just come for us, he comes for my sister as well. So Father Christmas misses their house, and he comes to our house. And our tree, you can hardly see, okay? The tree is covered, it's like this deep in presents. It's absolutely crazy, and it kind of gets worse every year. It doesn't get better as the kids get older. I think the adults get younger for some or other reason in our thinking, but it really is bad. Even we've got four dogs, okay, and two cats. They each get a present. And when they see the Christmas tree come out, Ethan's Jack Russell cricket goes crazy. He's like, I know this season. This is great season. Yeah, there's a point for me telling you this story is because when we're buying Christmas presents for one another, Amy will see something that maybe, you know, it's for Dad, so she'll buy something. And then Sarah will see something for Mom. And then, so what happens is they'll end up buying Christmas presents on behalf of other people. And then they have this discussion about money in January, you know. You know those discussions. They're around the breakfast table or the supper table, have this discussion. And it can be a little tense, hey. And I was thinking about it the other day. We were sitting around the dining room table, and it's like, do you owe me $300? Oh, but you owe me $400. Do you know how much money you owe me, Mom? You know how much money you owe me? Mom goes, yeah, oh, no, I'm so worried. You're going to have to wait for a little while. It's like one of those. But no shouting. And that, I found, was quite extraordinary, actually. And I want to challenge you, if you have these discussions in your family, and they're not as nice as that, and they sort of are a little bit tinged with a bit of fear and anger and frustration, then this is where you need God's light to shine in this area of your life. Maybe you have other areas of your life that are down, but money is one of those very difficult things. And if I had to ask you, each one of you, say, Who needs a financial breakthrough here? How many of you guys need a financial breakthrough? Who would put their hand up? Who would be brave enough to put their hand up? I would. I'd put my hand up. Come on now. If your boss comes to you and he says, listen, you know, actually, yes, you've been doing a great job, eh, Tom? I'm promoting you. You're going to get double your salary. You're going to go, oh, gee, I don't know what I'm going to do with this money. You're going to know exactly what you're going to do with the money. You're going to be sitting at work and you go like, you know, if I take this part and I quietly start a little business on the side doing this, I'm going to be able to sell it back to my business for like R3 profit more. I'll quietly start doing it on the side. And all of a sudden, this is Andrew's forte, you suddenly have these funny little businesses all over the place that are making a whole lot of money. No, seriously. But you know what? It's God's principles. If you need a breakthrough in this area, God is into that kind of thing. He loves to bless his children. He loves to. We are good stewards. We are. And we are good at, some of us, some people in this place are better and more disciplined than others. Okay? Not that greatly disciplined. God is so graceful to me, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it later. He is so graceful when it comes to this kind of thing. But money is something that can be nasty. And if you don't get it into the light, into God's kingdom, it will be used against you. It will be. Because it's part of money's currency. Part of the world's currency, sorry. Nothing can test your faith like money. Nothing can test your faith like money. I can pray for somebody in front and pray for them, and it doesn't work. Well, maybe, you know, I'm not maybe, well, maybe she, maybe who, maybe whatever. You can pray for forgiveness, receive forgiveness, but when you run out of money, there's no denying where your faith level is. There's no denying where your faith level is. And what I want to do today is I want to give you enough scripture that you can walk away from here and make your own mind up about what you're going to do with your money. And I want to say straight away right now that this is, remember that Jesus came for us when we were sinners, when we were lost and we had no idea. He came for us. He chose you specifically. He chose you. You're here today in this situation, in this town, with your bank balance looking like it is, because he knows that you're there. And he's giving you this word today for you to do whatever you want with it. This is for you. Okay. Money is a problem. We are all children of the world. We are all children in the world, but we are not of the world. Matthew 6, verse 24 says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. There we go. Straight away. Jesus says you cannot serve both God and money. You have to choose. And often we lie to ourselves where that line is. We lie to that ourselves. We get so desperate that we don't really understand what we're really going to do when we get to the end of our money that we're actually not sure where it is. It's undeniable. Each one of us have to engage in this world with money. It's something that you have to. But Christians, we are terrible with it, because when you give your life to the Lord, you're transposed out of this kingdom into his kingdom. You become your whole spiritual life should be completely new. You place God at your center. You say, Lord, I'm going to serve you my whole life. I'm going to give you my heart. I'm going to give you my heart today. I know I want to serve you. And you give your life to him. You are then taken out of this world and you're placed in the kingdom of life. But you still have to deal with all the nonsense that we deal with. You can't tell your bank manager, listen, by the way, I'm not paying my bond this month. No, why? Because I'm a child of God. I'm living this year. You guys can stay there. It doesn't work. You have to use God's principles in this world. And Christians have two things that we do. One, we either pretend that it's not there. So we just pretend that it's actually going to be okay. So we'll kind of like just hope. Great strategy, eh? We'll just hope that things will work. And the other one is we can quietly fall in love with it without us knowing. I really believe that God doesn't mind you having nice stuff. But he minds when that stuff has you. He minds when that stuff is you. Some of the most greedy people that I've known have not been the wealthiest people that I've known. You can have almost nothing and have closed fists at every turn. And you hoard every single thing. I have always built my life on having open hands. Because when they're open, I can give freely and I can freely receive. There are lots and lots and lots of scriptures, as you would know, about this kind of thing. So we can't walk away from it. We try to avoid it, or we become greedy and it affects our mood. How to know whether you love money or not is that when you run out of money, you become grumpy, eh? Isn't it? It really is. Come on now. It happens to me. They're like, oh my word. Like, why are you so grumpy? What are you doing? It's because I've got to pay my staff at the end of the month. And you really haven't got it all together. And the thing that you thought was going to come through actually didn't come through. And it's moved out a little bit. And you just get into that situation where you're not sure about what's going on. So here we are. There is a series by Robert Morris that we always do. And I think we did it about 3 years ago. And he is really, really good. And there's nothing worse than Trevor giving you a thing on WhatsApp and saying, this is what I want you to speak on. And you realize you're never going to be able to do that, eh? Like, no, there's not, I will never get there. Because he just has a real anointing about the way that he talks. But I want to leave you with the principles that he has, because these principles are undeniable. And there are three points that he makes in this thing by Robert Morris. If you have your Bibles, if you want to open it, Exodus 13, verse 1. And the first principle is exactly the same as it is in your life, is that God needs to be first in your life. And the same principle happens in your money. You need to put God first in your money when it comes to money. And it says this, Exodus 13, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast, it is mine. He does that great. It is mine. Exodus 13, verse 12, if you just go a little bit further down. Let yourselves set apart to the Lord all that open the womb, that is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have. The males shall be the Lord's. But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you shall not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among you, your sons, shall redeem them. God declares that certain animals are clean and certain animals are unclean. And God is saying, if you have a donkey and you want it to be clean, because I've said that it is unclean, you need to sacrifice a lamb in its place. Otherwise, you must break its neck. And Robert Morris says it brilliantly. If God can't have it, if I can't have it, neither can you. That's what he says. He says, if you cannot sacrifice that unclean something in place of that unclean thing, you can't have it either. So you need to redeem it. Redeem is an interesting word. It's something that was unclean or was broken, or was made for destruction, and you are now bringing it into the light. Your money in this world is something that I think that the Lord sees as unclean because it's part of a world system. So when you get paid your money from your job, or you get paid your salary, or from your business or whatever it is, you need to redeem that money. And God is saying that if you don't redeem that money, it will be unclean. And how do you redeem it? By giving the first part of that. So you need to make a sacrifice. You need to make, and a sacrifice is not, it's like submission. Submission and agreement are not the same. Submission is when you don't want to do something. He's like, I don't want to do this. But Pastor, I understand. You tell me to do it, I'm going to do that. That's submission. Submit yourselves to one another. Obedience in this area is exactly the same. You have to choose to do something. You have to sacrifice. It must cost you something. If it doesn't cost you anything, that's why the Lord doesn't need it. The Lord doesn't need it. This is for you so that you can redeem your money. If he knows that when he blesses me in my financial area and I am going to be obedient and give my tithe and my offering to where he tells me to do it and you don't, who's he going to bless? He's going to bless me. And it's the reverse, if I'm the one with the issue and he knows that he's going to bless you, he's going to bless you. Because he knows that you're going to be obedient. It's as simple as that. And it's not difficult for him. This principle is for you to unlock the wealth of that money, what it's really used for. To take something that was unclean and to bring it to life in God's kingdom. And you do that by redeeming it. Okay, the first fruits must be offered. So this is the second point. First fruits must be offered. Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. How's that? Compare it to this scripture in Haggai chapter 1, verse 6, where God was unhappy with Israel. It says this. You're going to turn there quickly. Haggai is difficult. Eh? It's like in the Old Testament. It's one of those funny things. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And when he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. These people have forgotten about, and God was judgmental. That was a whole thing. That's where that scripture came from. You eat, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he earns wages to put into a bag full of holes. And Proverbs verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. First fruits must be brought. It's interesting that it says, honor the Lord with your possessions. It doesn't say like, give it. It doesn't say that. It says, offer it. Because it's all his anyway. Some people say, well, you know, the money that I've made, it's all mine anyway. Because God, look at his hands. I made this with my own hands. I built this house with my own hands. I fed you with my own hands. I've done everything with my own hands. Who gave you your hands? Who gave you your very life? Who created the opportunity for you to get into that job in the first place? Who's been blessing you every single step of the way? Everything that you have belongs to the Lord. And he's saying, if you want to keep it, offer that first fruit to me, that first one. Redeem that thing that is part of the world system and drag it into the kingdom of light, and I will bless it, and I will multiply it, and I'll cause your business to do well, and I'll cause you to do well where you are. Your problem is not your boss. Your problem is not the guys around you. The problem is not your competitiveness. The problem is not your character. You're not the problem. I can promise you, God wants to bless you. If you hear one thing from me today, I really believe it's this. God wants to bless you financially. If nobody's ever told you that, ever, if nobody's told you that, I want you to stretch your faith, and I want you to hook onto this thing. You can choose now today to say, no, I'm not. That's not me. My time's past. I can't. Surely, there's nothing more that I can do. Or you can choose to activate your faith and say, Lord, I receive this word. We've had about 3 or 4 words in the last 2 weeks about the word breakthrough. Minerva brought one last week. Breakthrough. We are going through a turbulent time. We are. Interest rates are increasing. You just have to hang around at work. People will tell you exactly how badly you're doing. It's quick. He'll tell you straight away how badly I'm doing. Well, yeah. The interest rates are going up, you know, price of food's going up. Doesn't matter to the Lord. Do you think that this caught him by surprise? It didn't. I promise you, none of this caught him by surprise. He didn't wake up in February and go like, whoops, there's a war. What, anybody got any ideas about a war? One of the things that Robert Morris says about God is that he cannot think like you do. First of all, his word says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. He knows everything. He doesn't have a thought process. He doesn't think. He doesn't go like, I'm going to try and understand this thing. I wonder what Tom did here. Sure, I don't know. I'm going to try and understand this thing. He knows exactly what Tom did. He knows exactly what Rob did. He knows exactly where Sebastian is. He knows. His thought processes are not the same as yours and mine. He just knows. Irrespective of what the petrol price is doing, irrespective of what the food prices are doing, when you put these things, laws, into practice, they are undeniable. And they are as unyielding like the second buckle notch in your belt buckle. You can pretend that you don't have to change it. Okay? It's like, I'm still there. I just have to walk around like this for a little while. It's undeniable, my man. You've got to get a new belt. It is undeniable, okay? We are not redeemed. We are not redeemed by the law. I just want to say this. I'm moving things around a little bit. But many of you will say, you know, this tithe is in the Old Testament. Surely that's not for now. Surely that's, we are under grace. We are under grace. We are under grace. But Jesus came to fulfill the law. He came to fulfill the law. We are not justified by the law. So Trevor doesn't get a sacrifice with a robe on and take a thing and say, okay, well, for you, Amy, for your sin today, I'm going to now cut and sacrifice this animal. And can we please have the sheets, you know, for the blood and everything else? He doesn't do that. We have been purchased with a precious price by the blood of Jesus. And not from ourselves, but because of his own free will, he decided to do that. Have you ever thought that maybe Jesus was God's tithe first to you, to redeem you? We were. I think that he sort of went to Abraham and he watched what Abraham would do. Will you sacrifice your son? Will you sacrifice your son? And then he says, then the angel of the Lord called Abraham in the second time out of heaven, and he said to him, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and not withheld your son, your only son, I will bless you in blessing you, and multiply, will multiply descendants as the stars in heaven, as the sand and the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of the enemies. In your seed will the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Because you have obeyed my voice. Blessing always comes after obedience. It always comes after obedience. Jesus paid the price for you. He was God's first fruit for you. I will give you my first fruit. I expect your first fruit back again. Many people think, you know, I go to church, but they mustn't mess with my emotions and my money. It's like the two things, eh? It's like the next time I see somebody raising their hands at church. And some people have said, well, you know, I didn't see Jesus jumping around and tapping his hands and everything else like that, but everybody that he healed did. I'm one of them. Everybody that he healed did. And if you're not going to honor the Lord with your money, then what is your faith really worth? What's it worth? Okay, that's the second one. That's the second thing. The first one, God needs to be first, like he is in your life. God needs to be first in your money. The second one is first fruits must be offered. So you bring your first fruits to the Lord. And the third one is practically the tithe must be first. This is the first thing that you do. Leviticus 27 verse 30 says, and all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruits of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. It needs to be the first thing that you do. When I have my money come into hit my account probably about the third or the fourth of the month, the first thing that I do is I pay my tithe. And I ask the Lord. I don't pay tithe. I ask the Lord how much to give. And I get serious with him because I have done two things. I've short paid, and there's a scripture that says, pay your tithe that he will rebuke the devourer for your sake. How you find out? Because we've had devourers. You know, the gate motor breaks here and this goes down and the dog gets sick and then the kids need this and everything else. The Lord says he will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I have underpaid by mistake. And then I've also gone too far. I've also thought, oh, I really want to give more. We are doing stuff in the church. I want to do more. And I'll do more, and I won't feel the Lord's blessing on it. And I feel the Lord say to me, I didn't ask you to do that. God doesn't want you to be emotionally manipulated to do anything. This is completely between you and the Lord. Completely. It's your money. You must be responsible for doing it. But it's the first fruit that you do. So interesting, eh? In the Navy, when I got my first car, you remember your first car, okay? My first car was a City Golf Sport, okay? Remember that? Do you remember the City Golf Sports, the red, yellow, and the blue one? It tells you how old I am, eh? The City Golf Sport, man, it was really, and it was a 1600, had little leather seats. It was properly nice, okay? It was a step up. And I was in the Navy, and I got this thing, and I used to wash it regularly, you know? Remember when you used to wash your car? Remember that? Okay, so I was used to wash. Okay, sorry. So I got the car, and I was in the Navy, and I was in Jalcena. So we was a divisional officer, and the guy next door to me, he wanted to travel to, I can't remember, it was like Newcastle from Durban. So it's quite far. He was really homesick. You could see this Uck was really homesick, and I knew him or whatever, and I had the car for a little while. And I felt the Lord say to me, give him your car to go. I had it for like a week. And I thought, man, you're going to give this guy that you hardly know your car to travel to who knows where. And I felt the Lord say, just do it. And I did it. I thought, okay. I went to him. I said, listen, take my car. You're welcome to go. Go for it. Take your car and go. And there was something about it that I just felt the Lord say, if you obey me in this thing, I'm going to bless you in this area. Just like a little thing. It was a simple little thing. It wasn't this huge story. And I quietly just gave the guy, and he went up, and he stayed there for 4 or 5 days, and he came back. Do you know how the Lord has blessed me just through that simple act? You can ask Jess. I'm stupid with cars, okay? I am. I don't have much intelligence. If Warren was here, he'd be rolling on the floor. I like new cars. It's like one of those things. I do. Even Andrew's crying. I can't tell you how many times I've managed to get the first car that came, the little first red Golf GTI that ever came out, the first one in the country. The first BMW 135i that in the country, first one that's come out. I got that first one. I got about another 4 or 5 just because I just like went, can I have this, you know, would you like, and God is, this is an area, I'm telling you, not to embarrass myself. I'm telling you because it showed me that even in the simple little thing, when you honor the Lord with something small, he will honor you back again. That first fruit, I believe, that I gave in obedience to a need that was there. Where I met a young lady who came to see me, and she said she wants some help with some money. She'd been left some money, and she said, I need some help with this money. What do you think I should do? Invest in this, that, the next thing. So I said, oh, well, you can do this, and you can do that, and then you can do the next thing. But so you're going to tithe, and then you're going to, what? So, you're going to tithe. For me, it's automatic. Doesn't even enter in my mind. If you get an increase, the first fruit belongs to the Lord. It's not yours. But why would you steal from the Lord? Are you crazy? There's a couple of people you could steal from. I would rather steal from the Russian mafia than steal from the Lord. No, honestly, the Russian mafia might not know where you stay. God knows where you stay. You know, no, it's, just do it. Just do it. I didn't even think about it. I never spoke to that lady again. And she left the church. That's why we have Mark. That's why we have Mark. Because he's. I don't know, maybe I said something wrong or whatever, or it wasn't. Sometimes I'm not very diplomatic, I suppose. It was just one of those things. It belongs to the Lord. Your first fruit belongs to the Lord. It just does. When I was just quickly running through this morning, the Lord wanted me to mention this, and this is a bit embarrassing, but I'm not a great businessman, okay? So I've got involved with a couple of people that have really hurt me badly financially, okay? So the first one was a gentleman that, I'm in the insurance industry, he was in another side of the insurance industry, and he was really battling where he was working, and I knew that if we started the business together, we could actually do well. So I helped him. I paid off his bond because they were going to repossess his house. And in our first year, we did incredibly well. We literally, in that area, in our little place, we sold more than anybody else in Sandton. Okay? We did well. We did very well, which created a huge annuity flow. And all of a sudden, he brought somebody into the business that I didn't know without telling me. And I was a 50% shareholder. And then he came, no, he wants to buy me out. So I said, okay, that's fine. Buy me out. He paid me the first payment, and then there was a huge amount of money outstanding. And I really prayed about it. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he said, just let it go. And I did. I let it go. And then a couple of years later, I got involved. I was running my company, and somebody approached me, one of my himself, you know, actually approached me and said, listen, he's got this product. He wants to launch it into this type of community. It was a first. I spent months of meetings with one of the second biggest insurance companies, actuaries. When you're surrounded by 12 actuaries and you don't even have a degree, then you just know, maybe you're a little bit over your head, you know? It's kind of like, wait, what am I doing here? And they're asking you about rates and what are you going to do here and how are you going to do this? And we put this massive thing together. I sold my house where I was running my business from. I bought a massive telephone system and all sorts of things, hired a whole bunch of people. Took rental of a massive place, and I was carrying a box up the stairs. And as I'm carrying it, my phone rings, and I haul out my phone, and the guy says, listen, I just want to tell you that we're pulling out, the insurance company that we did that. We just don't think that we have the appetite for this thing. Sure. Okay, so That meant that my relationship with my friend also went through, because he said, kind of said, look, I can't carry this thing, so it's yours. It's your baby. I've got this massive two floors of an office space that we don't need. I mean, we can fit into, like, you know, us just a little place. And I said, Lord, how am I going to get through this? And he said, just let it go. And I did. And then the first guy that I told you took the name of my company and then started as a competition in my area as well. And then the next time I did this again, I came down here and I got involved with somebody else. And then I really did lose a lot of money, and he did take my name, so I changed the name of my company. But in each case, I've actually rather gone, you know, Lord, I would rather just let you deal with this than me. It's not, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, and I don't even want that. And I have completely worked through all of these things. I don't know why he wanted me to tell you that this morning. But I think that sometimes when you try to fix the things yourself and you want to hold people accountable for things, it's not your job. If you want God's blessing, give him what you can and work with open hands, and he will be the one to bring blessing into your business. Let him be the one to bring blessing into your business. So maybe you're going to say to me this morning, okay, so but now you're telling me that I need to actually start tithing, but I haven't really. So I've been doing a little bit, but nothing really much. So I've been doing a little bit of tithing here and there, and actually this is an area that you shouldn't really be talking to me about, Rob. I'd rather be talk to me about unforgiveness or something else. So this is a little bit sore. What do? The first thing that you do is you become honest with yourself. This is where I am. And then you say to the Lord, what do you want me to give? That's the important thing. So we're going to have the worship team just come up quickly. And we're just going to, we want to close with the last song. I want, if you do have your Bible with you, just open it at Matthew chapter 6. It's quite interesting because this whole chapter basically deals with about the Lord's Prayer, but it starts off, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues in the street that they may glorify from men. Surely they say that they have their reward. Then he talks about when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret, him will reward you. Then the Lord gives the Lord's Prayer. And then he talks about fasting to be seen, and he says, do not lay up your... In verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then he talks about the lamp of the body, about your light, your eye being light, but if your light is actually darkness, if you love money, then everything you see is going to be clouded by the way that you see money. It will all come down to random sense. And then he talks about worry. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit of his stature to your stature? And then he talks about that verse in 24. When you have a moment, read Matthew chapter 6. I want to go back to where I started with you guys. Will you reach out for me with your faith this morning? Can I ask you all just to stand while we do this?